Doctor's Kitchen. Recipes, health, lifestyle. Welcome to Doctor's Kitchen Snack Size. Snack size snippets from the main podcast, all about food, medicine, lifestyle, and how to improve your health today. Today's snack size is all about how we measure aging. With all the interest in aging and a burgeoning industry, including drugs and supplements and other interventions like cryo and beyond that claim to reverse your age, how do we even know that they work? How do they measure aging in and of itself? Andrew Steele on episode 118 gives us a wonderful summary of the aging field, why epigenetic clocks are something to watch out for, as well as the hallmarks of aging. It's a fascinating full-length episode that you can check out on the Doctor's Kitchen website. Just type in episode 118 or search Andrew Steele Doctor's Kitchen wherever you get your podcasts for the full episode. It is a must listen. But enjoy this snack size for now.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Are there sort of like clinical measures of aging that you think would become available to us as clinicians such that we can actually measure and intervene where appropriate when people are going past a certain point in life?
I think that's definitely coming down the line. And like, I think we've all got this intuition that, you know, some people seem to age better than others and some people are biologically older than what it says on their birth certificate. And actually, what my wife calls this the end of bedogram. I'm sure you've performed one of these you go and see a new patient and you go, oh gosh, you know, she looks a bit older than it says on her birth certificate. You know, she's not long for this world or whatever. Actually, there's some scientific validity to that idea that patients, and not just patients, but people who look older actually are biologically older. So there was this fascinating study done in 2009 where they got a panel of assessors to rate how old they thought someone's face looked. And then they correlated that with their future risk of death and disease. And it turned out that looking older actually corresponded to being biologically older, being at more risk of ill health, being at more risk of death. Mm. So clearly, and I mean, this isn't really surprising because actually when you look at the causes of aging, the sort of biological molecular causes that, you know, cause everything, they cause everything. They cause cancer, they cause heart disease, but they also cause the wrinkles, the gray hair, the sort of cosmetic external factors. So the fact that all of these things are driven by the same processes means, you know, in a way, it's unsurprising that your biological age is shown on your face. You know, effectively, it's sort of reflecting the wrinkles and grey hair, as it were, on your internal organs, even though obviously that's not exactly how they manifest inside you. Yeah. Luckily as well, you know, we're not going to be consigned to doing endobedograms for the rest of time. There are some sort of more hardcore scientific ideas as well. I think one of the most exciting is something called the epigenetic clock.
Yes.
And this is where you can take... You can do it with a blood sample. You can actually do it with a sample of any tissue in the whole body. But I guess, you know, often we go for blood because that's a nice, easy one to get out rather than grabbing a bit of someone's liver or something. And the idea is that you measure the... You measure these things called epigenetic marks. These are sort of like bookmarks and notes all over your DNA. So in the middle of your cell, you've got your DNA, your instruction manual. And every single one of the cells in your body that has DNA has the same instruction manual. And that's sort of crazy if you think about it, because, you know, you've got brain cells, you've got liver cells, you've got lung cells, you've got skin cells, all these cells doing such wildly different functions, but they've got the same instructions at the center. So obviously the body has to have some way of saying, okay, you're a skin cell, what you need is activate these genes that are relevant to being a skin cell, to doing your job at your part in the body. And this is done with these epigenetic marks, these sort of little bookmarks going, you know, don't look at this bit's super important, make lots of this one, etc., etc. And it turns out that by looking at how those bookmarks, those epigenetic marks change with age, you can judge how old someone is incredibly accurately. So you can take a sample from someone's blood, you can measure these epigenetic marks, and you can work out their age to within 3 or 4 years. Now, that's not that exciting. We already have a technology that's much better at working out someone's age than within 3 or 4 years, because we can look at their birthday. However, what's more interesting is that if your epigenetic age is greater than your chronological age, so your birth certificate age, then again, you're at more risk of disease, you're at more risk of death than someone who's got a lower epigenetic age. So you can have either what's called an accelerated epigenetic age or a decelerated epigenetic age. And this isn't quite at the point where there's anything much that we can do with that clinically, because if someone's older, quote unquote, than their birthday suggests, the advice you'd give them would basically be the same, you know, get some exercise, blah, blah, blah. But I think as we start to understand more about the aging process, we're going to develop drugs that can target particular facets of the aging process. These biomarkers, as they're called, that tell us how biologically old someone is. They'll tell us if a treatment's working, and they'll tell us, you know, whether someone needs a treatment yet, or and so on and so on. So I think these things are very much, you know, they're in development, and they're not 100 years away from being applied at all.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, even from like a very crude point of view, if someone had an accelerated aging process, maybe, you know, as a clinician, I could be a bit more proactive with pinging that person to, you know, make sure they're doing exercise, or perhaps even organize health coaching, or have them come into the clinic for more regular tests and that kind of stuff, in anticipation of, you know, there being these wonderful drugs that I'm sure we're going to get on to talk about a little bit later are being prescribable. But before we get into that, why don't we talk about those features of aging? So you mentioned one, these epigenetic alterations. I thought there were 8 hallmarks of aging, but I must have misread that. In your book, you talk about the 10 hallmarks of aging.
Yeah, I was mixing things up a bit just to keep you on your toes. So there was a paper that came out in 2013, and it was called The Hallmarks of Aging, and there are 9 in that paper. There have also been a few other attempts to categorize the various sort of changes that are related with aging. One has 7, I think one has 5 or 6. There are basically, biologists don't quite agree. And so what I did was I took that 2013 paper, which has 9. I think I combined 2, I added 1. I ended up with 10 somehow. You know,
Nice round number. I like it.
Exactly. It was very fortunate. And I mean, one of the things that happened was, in the intervening sort of 7 or 8 years, or, you know, since that paper was published, the particular thing we've learned a lot more about is the microbiome. So the sort of bacteria, the fungi in your guts, they seem to have an association with the aging process that just wasn't mentioned in that paper. So anyway, I ended up with 10 of these things. I won't go through all of them, you know, to save your poor listeners' ears, but these are the fundamental underlying causes, we think, of the aging process. And they range in scale across our whole body. So I mentioned already DNA, this instruction manual at the center of every one of our cells. That's one of the most, changes in that is one of the most fundamental hallmarks. So you can imagine if you get damage to your DNA, or you can get mutations, which are effectively spelling mistakes in that instruction manual. Because of those mistakes, that can then lead to various aspects of the aging process. And the most obvious one, I think, that a lot of people know is related to DNA, is cancer. Because cancer is essentially a disease, or you accumulate enough mutations in a cell, and that allows that cell to carry on dividing, you know, become a tumor, and eventually potentially, you know, take your life. So that's the sort of very small scale. There are then other molecular things like the epigenetics we've just mentioned. There are proteins inside your cells that can either change or become damaged, or all kinds of various things as you age. Getting onto a slightly bigger scale, the cells themselves can age. So one thing that I love to talk about is senescent cells. I'm sure we'll get onto that a bit later. And these are effectively aged cells, which we know accumulate as you get older and effectively accelerate aging throughout your body. And then sort of zooming out even further, dysfunction in these sort of smaller scale hallmarks causes dysfunction across the body. And you can get problems with things like signaling, which is the communication between your cells that can happen. And as that gets dysregulated, your whole body can sort of fall out of regulation. And then, you know, bigger still, your immune system. And this is, I already mentioned coronavirus. We've really seen how older people's immune systems just aren't as powerful as younger people's ones are when it comes to fighting off infection. So the combination of these various smaller hallmarks causes your immune system to age. And that doesn't just affect infectious disease, actually. The other, what, you know, your immune system does a number of other things. Firstly, it seeks and destroys those senescent cells I was talking about. Mm-hmm. So as it gets less effective, it gets less good at that. So you can see how that sort of forms a vicious cycle. And secondly, your immune system is really important for cancer as well, because it's constantly patrolling, looking for these cells that are on the route to becoming cancerous. And if your immune system gets less effective at that, that can make cancer more likely too.
Yeah.
So you can really see, you know, I've just given a sort of flavour there rather than a proper in-depth overview of all 10 of them. But you can see there are a variety of these changes. They're all quite interconnected. But what's surprising is, you know, 10, it sounds like quite a lot. I've just talked for quite a long time about 3 or 4 of them. But actually, if you think about the number of age-related diseases you've got, you know, there are hundreds of kinds of cancer. If you think about the number of ways that your brain can go wrong as you age, you know, there are dozens of types of dementia, all with subtly different features, all happening at subtly different scales in your body. So although there are 10 of these hallmarks, and that might sound like quite a lot, it's actually quite a lot less. And it's quite a lot more fundamental than the sort of diseases that we currently treat in medicine. And that's what really excites me, is that by going after this relative handful of hallmarks, we could potentially address like dozens or even hundreds of age-related diseases.
I hope you enjoyed today's Doctor's Kitchen Snack Size. Remember, you can find the full-length episodes on the Doctor's Kitchen website at thedoctorskitchen.com. I'm Dr. Rupi. I will see you here next time.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.